Good afternoon, and welcome back to another episode of the Artificial Intelligence Center AI podcast. I'm Lieutenant Colonel David Paddock. I will be your host for today's show. I'm joined today by Captain Brian Curtin. Brian, thanks for being here and welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Good afternoon. I'm excited to dig into this and have a nice discussion.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us a little bit about your background.
I graduated from West Point with a degree in computer science back in 2019. Really focusing on systems and applications development. I commissioned as an aviation officer, and then I became an Apache pilot, spent 2 years down at Fort Rucker, and then spent 2 years at JBLM as a platooner and AS3 in the 16th cab over there. And then decided to come back to school, do the AI Scholars Program here at Carnegie Mellon. I did the Master's of Computational Data Science program, which really focuses on AI applications, machine learning from step one all the way to deployment. And then I showed up here to AI2C and started working on some of our edge AI teams here.
That's a great background. You bring a great breadth and depth of experience to your position here at the program. And I think that your aviation background is very interesting in that regard, because as an Apache pilot, you were an operator of a highly integrated system with lots of interconnected systems within that Apache that enabled the visualization of the battlefield, targeting at different distances, passing along targets. And I feel like that's a proxy for this conversation that we're having about the human AI team. You were part of a human machine team with aided recognition in a variety of ways on the Apache and detection. And now we're transitioning that very much into the digital realm. When we talk about AI and human teaming, why is it so important to have a human in the loop?
So the human in the loop is really there to make sure that your AI stays on track, right? So an AI or a machine learning algorithm, it will give you an answer. That's what it's designed to do. And having a human in the loop allows someone with experience, someone who can consider additional factors that aren't actually inputs into that black box system that we consider as AI, to make sure that the judgment is correct, that it's ethical in an army sense when we're thinking about operational decisions. And lastly, just to make sure that the system's doing what you want it to do. The people are able to think of big picture decisions more and realize like what a single decision recommended by an AI would play into an entire operational environment. Looking back and thinking of it away with how like I would interact with an Apache. So say there was some mechanical failure in the system. For example, one of the engines had a slight malfunction. Me as the pilot, I would be the human in the loop. And so the helicopter's job is to tell me that there is something wrong with one of the engines. Me as the human in the loop would look at that caution or that warning and determine how that would change my operational environment. And I would have several different options. I could continue mission if I didn't judge it severe enough. I could do a like quick turnaround to return to base if I needed to. Or if it was severe enough, based on my judgment, I could do an immediate landing. And so those type of decisions that you use a human in the loop for apply almost the same to an AI decision-making system. So I'm there to make sure that whatever the system recommends me to do is actually what I want.
So you nailed on a couple of different topics there. So the first one was obviously what you finished on, which was it's giving you the right answer. And that really is what I think about it. It's achieving the expected result. It's doing what I expect it to do. But in order to know that it's doing what I expect it to do, that requires me to have a pretty good inherent understanding of the situation in the first place and enough contextual understanding and foresight to be able to know what I think should be happening. And that's something that itself comes with a fair amount of experience, at least in military service, right? I can expect that in a given scenario that there's a couple of most likely courses of action, but I couldn't have done that when I was a lieutenant. It was something that I've gained over years of seeing it happening again and again. How do we balance integrating in AI and having that human AI team if we have a staff set that doesn't have that same degree of experience to have the expectation of what looks like and what the expected results should be?
So I always like to think of it in terms of how you would treat that AI system as a person. Say I'm on a battalion staff. I'm a new first lieutenant. I'm helping out as a battle captain at a night shift during a CTC rotation or some sort of field exercise. I'm giving a decision matrix of things I'm allowed to decide and things I need to ask additional help for. So you can apply those same concepts to any AI system in that environment where, okay, I trust my AI system to make these decisions because I judge them as low risk. But when it needs to make a decision that is more highly weighted, has more consequences, you can automatically just tag that as having a human in the loop to verify it. And I think a really interesting thing that you brought up is looking more on the AI science side of it. A machine learning or AI system has a fixed number of inputs, right? And so when you are talking about having years of experience as a senior Army leader, your inputs, as you could say, if you are an AI system, is your entire life, your entire experience as an officer, things you've read, your books. What you can train a machine learning system on is it is limited. There is a subset of it. And so you can't account for everything that goes into making an operational decisions based on the AI system. And thinking about it that way allows you to realize that you need a human in the loop to add that additional context of, okay, this system saw these 100 things, these 100 data points, right? And it recommended, it gave me this decision. This was the output of it. But I, being a person, a human in the loop, are able to use my entire life's experience to validate that, to tweak it, to identify that might not be the best course of action. And that's why it's so important to keep the human in the loop, especially in a staff decision-making process, is that we're the ones who are able to do the final yes or no. You can smell a decision, you can smell the environment, you know what's going on, you can see the weather outside, and you can add that additional context on top of that final decision that the AI system has made.
So the human provides context, and I think that's a great explanation of it. But I think the other thing that you hinted at is it still requires an informed leader that is establishing the boundaries both for the AI system as well as that human AI team. Just because we have the AI doesn't abdicate leaders of their responsibility to ensure that there are clear guide rails up for employing that team in the right situation. The other thing that you hinted at when we first started was the ethical value that humans apply. And that's a key aspect of why we need to have that pairing. Can you talk to me a little bit about why AI isn't able to apply ethical reasoning the same way that people are?
Yeah, I think it all goes back to the actual science of it. It's hard to quantify an ethical decision, right? So an input to an AI system is usually quantifiable. So that means you can assign a number to it, you can measure it. It's really hard to quantify an ethical decision. And so as a leader, you go through years of training, you talk a lot about ethics, you have a lot of training sessions to discuss what would be an ethical decision in certain situations. You're just not able to provide that to an AI system. But as the designer of an AI system, you have to make sure that the decisions of the output are ethical, that are there within the boundaries. Actually putting in the quantifiable ethical data metrics is really hard to do. And so that's the job, to look at that recommendation, look at that output, look at that prediction from the system and decide whether that's ethical or not. And that's based off of your entire life experience as a person, as an Army officer, as a staff officer. And so looking at the ethics, that's really what it comes down to, is being able to acknowledge and identify what you think is ethical, not what the system thinks is ethical.
So achieves expected results, which was the first thing that we talked about, is it requires leaders establishing the guardrails. But for ethics, it comes back to the same leadership question. Leaders are going to have a responsibility, perhaps now more so than ever, to make sure that they are providing the right ethical and moral grounding for their formations, to make sure that they're employing these tools in the right manner. But I think the other thing that this brings into play is what we do, waging war, exerting force on another state in order to achieve our national goals, that's always at that riskiest edge of ethical decision making. And so even if we can come up with an ethical decision for how to operate a vehicle in a major metropolitan area, it's a very different risk calculus. And the ethical risks are much more acute when you're dealing with armed conflict that we engage in as professionals.
I think that's a very interesting statement, because in the field of AI machine learning, there's a lot of thought to the harm a system can provide and the sense of what the system decides and how it recommends things. And how a lot of other people and data scientists will measure harm is going to be completely different to how you would measure it in a military application, just because the situations and decisions made by that system is just so different from what you would have on a normal machine learning or AI based system in the civilian world, where you're trying to sell something, recommend a product to someone, approve someone for a mortgage. The decisions have a lot more gravity in a military sense. And so the measure of harm or what the system should be outputting is just entirely different.
One of the other things that I've heard a lot about is AI's inability to really understand context and nuance. And within the military, we're consummate professionals, but professionals sometimes trip with sarcasm as well. And anybody who's been in a headquarters environment can understand that yes doesn't always mean yes. Yes can very much mean no if it's provided with the right context. Are we making progress towards having AI models that are able to understand that context and nuance and cultural perspective? Or is that an area that you see being dominated by the human aspect of that human AI pairing for the foreseeable future?
I think AI is making a lot of progress towards being able to take in that additional context and understanding of the environment. Specifically with advances in large language models, they're being trained to a point of where they can understand nuance, they can understand sarcasm in your specific example, and be able to account for that in a decision, a reasoning chain, or the actual output of the system. But realistically, like you said, they're never going to be able to account for every single piece of context within a decision. Specifically within military context, they're never going to be able to understand how tired a soldier is. You just can't quantify that and put it into a system. You're not going to be able to understand that Charlie 6, the one vehicle in the back of the motor pool, isn't working as well as it should. And maybe if we want to task that to do a certain resupply mission that, okay, I know that maybe we don't want to put Charlie 6 on it. If that's the one that the system recommends, maybe we want to put Charlie 4 on it or Charlie 5. And that's the context that you need as a human in the loop to add to that decision, is to be able to know that one last step that the AI system, I don't think we'll ever really get to, just because there's only so many things you can put into the AI for it to make a decision. And it's your job to take that last step with that additional context to fulfill that recommendation or change it or tweak it.
Sometimes when I think of the human AI team, it reminds me of the old adage that who votes is important, but who decides what goes on the ballot can be even worse. Are we approaching a point where a human AI team is going to be heavily influenced by what the AI model is suggesting? And in such a situation, commanders are going to be constrained, whether they realize it or not, by what that system is suggesting to them.
I think right now we're already getting close to that point where leaders want to rely heavily on AI, especially for more, I would say, less weighted decisions where they might be more menial, where it's a pretty easy decision and you just want the AI to make it for you. I think it's really important that as Army leaders, we make sure that we're using the AI specifically to help inform the decision, not make the decision. Right now, if I was an operational leader and I had a LLM or an AI agent system recommended that I do a certain course of action for a mission, I think a lot of senior leaders and a lot of more experienced leaders will identify, okay, this is my decision to make, this is to help me. But that's going to slowly creep, right? And so as the AI agent system gets better, more intelligent, it's going to be easier and easier to just go with the flow, do what the AI system says, just because it's probably a good plan, but it may not be what you want to do as a leader or what the most optimal thing would be based on your experience. So I think it's important that as a leader, you make sure you frame that system as a assistant, not as the decision maker, because you're the decision maker. You have to own the decision. You're the one putting your name on it. And so that's on you to make sure that you're doing the right thing with the right context and the right help, either from your staff or from that AI system itself.
I think that's a really good salient point. How do we use AI to inform the decision versus constrain the decision? And I think you really nailed it on the head with it's still a person who will be held responsible for that. It's still a commander's decision, and they are responsible whether they use the recommended course of action or not. as these systems become more prevalent and they're a relatively opaque system, how do we build a trust in those systems that are really supporting that science of command? If we can assume that commanders are going to hold tightly to the art of command and they're going to retain final decision authority, there's a lot of science that's going into those decisions in modern warfare. How do we build a trust in those systems that are informing the science of those decisions?
I think you just have to practice, right? You have to get reps. You have to do different MDMP sessions. You have to get familiar with the AI and how it can help you make those decision processes. So I know the Army is doing a huge push. They're really trying to understand how AI can help it. And we're going in the right direction. What I've seen is try to integrate those AI systems into staff planning exercises, into warfighters. And as we start using those more and more, those staff officers, staff NCOs can start seeing where AI can help. And it's only going to be through those reps and through those practice sessions, through those trainings, is where we can figure out where we want to put this. And so I think that's the most important thing, is just getting exposed to it, which the Army's fielding it everywhere. There are tons of different systems out there where soldiers can access AI. There's GenAI.mil, there's AIDP. There's so many of these things that gets AI in front of the soldier. And what's great is soldiers are able to use those and plug them in the ways they think they can help. And then it's just about the feedback, right? It's just going to be about analyzing and quantifying how those systems perform and what the AI is good at.
So when you talk about training and using these systems, we're soldiers, we train. It's the core of what we do to prepare for war. But training should be deliberately designed. You don't just always design training to force people to do the right thing over and over again. Part of the training is introducing decision points that are going to push people outside of their comfort zones and force them into making decisions that are a little bit different. Do you think that there is value in designing training to use these AI human teams in ways that will challenge and prevent people, the human side of that team, from falling into an automation bias cycle where the system's right, they use it, and therefore they're going to be more inclined to use it the next time and the next time, but they're not going to have an expectation for when it's wrong? Is there value in forcing these soldiers to understand that you use what the system said, but you should have questioned it? And if so, what are some approaches for leaders to take to design and implement that approach?
I think that's a great question. And I think that gets back to what the Army's been training for hundreds of years, right? Designing trainings to the point where you can fail is the most important part. The Army designs its training situations through combat training centers, JRTC, CTC, NTC, that it's okay to fail. And being able to tie in AI to these trainings and AI systems will allow someone to use them, go through the training process, and you're going to succeed some of the times. And yeah, like you said, you're going to develop some bias to defaulting to what the AI says. But making it so that these trainings are very challenging is going to be so important, to the point where the AI systems, you want to design the training to where the AI system is not going to be right all the time. And so that if a person is relying on it for every single one of their decision-making processes, they're probably going to fail. And that's going to teach them and teach soldiers like the healthy relationship that you can develop with an AI, where it's a helper, not a decision maker. And so getting back to these AARs and analysis of those trainings, it's so important that right now, as we begin to integrate these systems into all the warfighters, all these trainings we're doing, is that we want to quantify it and make sure that the successes are known, but also the failures, so that we can better inform each other of what we can do to maximize this opportunity of employing AI systems in decision-making processes.
I think you've hinted at something really important there, and you know, it's going to fail sometimes. But again, there's a leadership role there in making sure that soldiers understand that the failure is expected, the failure is normal, and that they understand how to calibrate their expectations to what those failure modes are. And so if they understand that a system is right 80% of the time, that doesn't mean it's always right. And that also doesn't mean we never trusted it. It means that we understand that it has domains and experiences and situations where it is more accurate and it has domains and contexts, and which is less accurate. That has to be trained in. That takes a lot of training in order to develop that, because the training results aren't as tangible. And that's a hard thing to quantify, but that's going to take leaders to be involved and be able to assume some training risk in order to make sure that we're using these things most effectively.
And that just gets back to designing good training from a leader perspective. You want to make it so that it's hard, it's okay to fail. But when you do fail, you go back, you turn around, you look at what you did, you looked at your decision-making process, and you figure out what you can do better. And in regard to integrating AI systems, you need to have a checkbox or have a line in your AR format that says, okay, how did the AI system help me or hurt me? Did it recommend something good? Did I adjust it? Did it recommend something bad and I changed it? Did I just go with it? And it's just about that responsibility from a leader level of making sure that you're learning from the hard training you do.
Being at the point in my career where I am now, most of the training that we have developed over time have been, these are the training systems that worked for me, that were effective, and that I've seen being used in a manner that helped develop leaders in a way that was effective. But as we really move into this intelligentized warfare concept and we start employing AI, we're going to be challenging leaders to develop training and design training in order to use systems in ways that they didn't have to use, that they've never experienced. And getting at your point, I think that's going to be its own challenge in order to develop that level of training.
And that just gets back to creating a system in an environment where people can learn about AI, what it's good at, what its shortfalls can be, how it actually works. And then that's going to really empower people to look at their own processes, whether in a staff context or a logistical context of what you're trying to solve, and figure out, okay, you don't need to be an expert in AI or machine learning. You just need to know what it can help you with. And you're going to be the expert in your own domain. And having a slight understanding of what AI and machine learning can do can help you like figure out ways you can plug that in. And the Army as a whole is looking into this. I think we're on a good path to begin plugging in AI to different warfighting functions and figuring out where we can plug that in. It just goes back to domain expertise. Everyone's the expert of their own office, their own shop, their own staff processes. And it's on you to figure out where you think you can plug AI in. The data scientists can help, but it's up to the people actually doing the work, actually creating the products, creating the plans to try to ask and figure out where we can plug stuff in.
That brings up an important question to me. And as I think about the training that I've taken, right, all of these trainings are designed to develop certain skills within certain domains. And as we progress in our career, more and more of those domains are in the knowledge area and less in the physical domains. Are there knowledge domains that have been historically important that are going to be less important for mission success for the human side of it because they're being overtaken by the AI aspect of that team? And are there other knowledge domains that are going to become increasingly valued for effective staff work and effectively employing these AI models in that team environment?
I think it's only going to increase domain expertise. So what AI is really good at is doing simple processes that are repeatable, that are take a low level of expertise to complete. And what that's going to allow people to do is really focus on the hard stuff. So because they can offload those like 10 level tasks that take up 2 to 3 hours every day. Say you're in the field and you need to do your company update brief slides. That takes an hour or two to break out, put that all onto a slide, then go brief your commander about it, right? AI can help you just get that done quickly. And so what you can do is ask an AI to help you generate some product to inform your leader or your boss about what's going on. And that's going to leave you extra time to focus on and really dig into your own domain, your own warfighting function, and figure out like what you can do better. So I think AI framed in the right context only increases domain expertise and doesn't make anything less important. It just allows people to really get better at their jobs because they're able to focus on the easy tasks less and focus more on the hard tasks.
I think that's great to hear. I think everybody who's been in the Army for a minute wants to know that the skills and the knowledge that they've gained over their career are going to continue to be valued. Let's move back. Earlier, we talked a little bit about some of the ethical groundings and the value of the human in the loop and the human in that the team from an ethical perspective. But I think the parallel to that ethical perspective are the legal concerns. And I think that there's a lot of emerging questions, especially today, moving forward. What are the laws that are surrounding the use of artificial intelligence for a human AI team and how that's going to affect the law of armed conflict? Does having that human AI team matter from a legal perspective, in your opinion, as we move forward? And is that different than having a well-trained algorithm that's operating independently, as some adversaries might use?
Yes, I think it all comes back to how we want to treat AI as an assistant or as a decision maker at the Army level or at the DoD level. So creating that doctrine of what we as the United States military are going to use AI for is what it really comes down to. And so looking at the legalities of it, it's really important for senior leaders to really have the hard discussions of, okay, how do we want to use AI? And I hinted at this before, where you're not going to be able to use the traditional sense of harm or like how a system can negatively affect someone, because as the US military, that's what the basis is of our entire profession, right? Is like conducting warfare against the enemies of the United States. And so that is a totally different measure of harm and measure of like guardrails of what a system should be able to recommend to someone. And it's just going to get back to how, yeah, just like we have to quantify, we have to write it down into doctrine of this is how we're going to use AI. This is how you're not going to use AI. This is how at a like branch level specific staff function, you will use AI and what you're allowed to use AI for to help you make these decisions, to help you figure out, to make plans, to make decisions, to recommend targeting. And yeah, it's just going to take a lot of thought and a lot of trial and error in terms of doing training exercises to figure out like what the optimal, like what the needle needs to be at for how involved you want to let AI be. And I think you actually hinted at another very interesting question, which is how AI is used in the military. And so I like to think of it in two different main domains. One is autonomous systems, where you don't have a human in the loop, which that's an entirely different thing to kind of what we're talking about. But what we're discussing today is really focusing on the human in the loop systems. And those are going to be those should have two different rule sets of what the AI is allowed to recommend. Because with the human in the loop, you're always able to override it. You're always able to use your own experience to say, okay, we're not going to do that. I'm going to tweak this decision a little bit, just because you have that ethical experience and that additional context that the model is able to provide.
Brian, I really want to thank you for coming in today. I think we covered a lot of topics in this area. We talked about the importance that the human in that team has a good ethical grounding and understanding of the employment of force in armed conflict, the criticality of those humans being experts in their domain so that they can offload those, as you put it, 10-level tasks to the computer and focus on the big problems. And then we talked about the leader role, right? Both in managing the guardrails that are in place for that team, as well as establishing a training program to make sure that the soldiers who are part of that team are able to employ it effectively in safe environments so that they understand the domains where that system is effective and they understand where it's not effective and they need to rely on their own judgment. Before we wrap up today, do you have anything else you want to add that you really want to leave everybody with?
I would just say these AI systems are going to make us so much better as an army. We just have to make sure we're using them right. And so it's on us as professionals to make sure that we're learning our jobs to the best we can and we're using AI to improve ourselves, not replace ourselves. And of all of the exercises I've been to, all the senior leaders, all the soldiers I've talked to, we're moving in that direction. And I think we're going to become a stronger army by interweaving AI into how we fight. And I think we're only going to become a better as a military because of it. So I would just say, as a staff officer, as a soldier, always look at how you can use AI and how you can improve your own systems with it. Other than that, thanks for having me. It's been great chatting, and I'm excited for the future of what's to come with the military and the Army.